Lecture 3, The Doctrine of Reincarnation.
In our last lecture, we talked about the classical Indian quest for knowledge. In this lecture, I want to put one more crucial piece in place in our understanding of the Indian religious background in the time of the Buddha, so that we can begin in the next lecture to study the life of the Buddha and the Buddha's teaching themselves. This one final remaining crucial piece has to do with the Indian view of the afterlife and the doctrine of reincarnation. If we look back into the early Vedic literature that we talked about last time, the tradition particularly of the early Vedic hymns, we find that the view of the afterlife was really quite similar to the view that's found in some of the European traditions that are really familiar to us. It's a familiar view, and one probably that belonged in some way to all of the people who called themselves Arya and who migrated across Europe and down into India. This view is that people who live a virtuous life, live a good life in this world, play by the rules, and perhaps express themselves in some sort of heroic way or achieve some sort of particular eminence, go to live in the land of the ancestors when they die. This belief persists in some aspects of Hinduism today, because Hinduism is a complex tradition that really involves many layers. When families make their pilgrimage to the sacred city of Benares on the river Ganges in North India, they make offerings to feed the ancestors and to ensure their prosperity in the afterlife. This ancient ritual goes back into the early traditions of the Vedas, and it's related, of course, to this view that the ancestors have moved into another realm and they need to be fed in order to ensure their prosperity. Now, sometime during the first half of the first millennium, before the Common Era, this ancient view began to be replaced by another one we call the doctrine of reincarnation. By the time of the classical Upanishads, Indian sages, the sages of the Upanishads, took the position that human beings didn't live just one life, but cycled around again and again, life after life. If you want to draw this for yourselves by making gestures in the air, you would simply draw circles. They cycled around life after life, death after death, in a process of death and rebirth. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there was a sage named Yajnavalkya, one of the great heroes of the Upanishads. We don't talk about him very much because his name is so hard to pronounce, but he was one of the really remarkable figures in that Upanishadic literature. He compared the succession of human lives to the movement of a caterpillar from one blade of grass to another. It's a very nice metaphor, actually, to express this movement of the soul from one life to another. He said, it's like this. As a caterpillar, when it comes to the tip of a blade of grass, reaches out to a new foothold and draws itself onto itself, so the self, after it has knocked down this body and rendered it unconscious, reaches out to a new foothold and draws itself onto it. Nice image. A caterpillar crawling from one blade of grass to another. Later in the same text, it talks more about the mechanism of the doctrine of reincarnation. It says that when human beings are cremated, the smoke from the cremation pyre rises up into the sky, and there the soul can move in three different directions: on, out of this world into the realm of Brahman, back into this world as a human being, or into one of the lower realms of rebirth, as into the body of a worm, an insect, or a snake, one of those things that crawls along the ground. In fact, I won't bore you with this, but there are some quite nice descriptions in some of this literature about what it's like to be reborn as a worm in a dung heap. They say that if this is your this is the fate that is reserved for you, that the dung heap will begin to smell extremely attractive as you're making your way through the intermediate state of the afterlife.